Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Pastor Scott gave me the reading for today and the sermon topic, and so I read from John chapter 20. Jesus appears to his disciples. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being closed where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. And then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. And Jesus said unto them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain or withhold the forgiveness from any, they are withheld." Now Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, or the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. And so the other disciples told him, "We've seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands, the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." 8 days later, which this is the anniversary of that day, the disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. And although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put your hand out and place it into my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." And Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe." The title for the sermon, I thought at first I was going to call it the unless Christian. You know, unless you do this, I will not believe. Unless you show me nail prints in your hand, I can't believe somebody is speaking about God in this manner, but he did. And by the way, God's not somebody we make deals with. I'm just saying. Unless you do this, I will not believe. Unless you feed all of the hungry people in the world, how could I ever believe in you? If you're going to tell me that we're all going to heaven, then I will believe. But otherwise, no. There's a lot of unless Christians, unless you do this, I won't do that kind of people that think they might be able to strike a bargain with the Lord. Could we have the first slide put up, please? This is the guy that we're going to talk about momentarily when his picture comes up. Oh, it's up there already. Aha. Uh-huh. I took that with my phone. And no, I'm just kidding. Somebody else did. But this is St. Thomas. And we always think of him in one tone. Doubting Thomas, right? I mean, if I were to ask you today, what do you know about Thomas? That's what you'd come up with, probably. He's mentioned 4 times in Holy Scripture, 2 times in 2 of the Gospels, not this one, not John, but he's listed in the list of disciples. And so we see the name Thomas. It doesn't say doubter, by the way. It just says Thomas. And that's 2 times he's mentioned in Holy Scripture. That's not much. The third time, he was actually pretty brave. They were in away from Bethany when Lazarus was getting sick and about to die. And Christ said, and a few of the disciples said, well, we should go and see him, tend to our, you know, family and friends' concerns. And then, no, everybody stopped him. Most of the disciples said, no, Lord, don't go. If you do, they're going to kill you. And they did. But only Thomas stood up and said, and this is the third time he's mentioned in Holy Scripture, and that was, he said, no, let us go with Christ to die with him. I always thought that was a rather brave thing to say. Some Bible scholars say, no, it was more of a sarcastic thing, you know, like, well, let's go along, because we're going to get killed too. But no, let us go with him. That's the third time. The fourth time that we hear of him is the doubting thing. And so he's kind of a saint of all people who doubt. No. I tell you, you know, when I went through the whole Scripture, the New Testament, and especially post-resurrection appearances, it doesn't take you too long. Do that today. It's a good exercise. Every single one of the Gospels always says, but some doubted, but some doubted, but some doubted. My goodness, they had breakfast with them, but some doubted. Can you believe it? Thomas, at least he stood before the Lord the first time he saw him, and he made a beautiful confession of faith and probably says a lot more to us than five words in English. My Lord and my God. At that point, he was turning his entire life over to the Lord. A Lord is somebody that governs, somebody that takes care of and tells you where to go, what to do, how to perform. And he said, you are my Lord, and you are my God. One of the few times Jesus Christ was actually tagged with the name God in Holy Scripture, and it was by Thomas, this guy that we have up on the screen. Boom, that's it. That's all we hear about Thomas. Scott says, preach a sermon on him. I had to do a little bit of digging into non-scriptural sources, history books and whatnot, to find out what happened to Thomas after that moment, or at least after the Pentecost. He was a changed guy. If he had any doubts before, he didn't now. Tradition says that he traveled over to China, did a little mission work there, sailed over to Japan, did a little mission work there, sailed back and went to the countries of Iraq and Iran, did a little mission work there. We don't read anything about that. Scripture doesn't mention it at all. And so I can't really say that is for sure. But I do know this. If we could have the next slide, please. He spent a great deal of time in the country of India. And if you look at India, on the left side of the map there, you start seeing red and green, and those are the areas where Thomas did a ton of evangelism and bringing people to faith in Jesus Christ. Otherwise, it was all Hindu, and to this day, most of it is Hindu. But he brought his God and his Lord, and he made a bold confession of that, and many, many people came to faith. He was born in the city of Cana in Galilee. You might remember that from some wine that was made out of water. We don't know when. Nobody recorded it. We didn't find his birth certificate anywhere, but consider him a contemporary of Jesus Christ. All right? So say he was born in the year 1 A.D. In the year 52 A.D. is when he started doing all of these rounds. By the age 72, Hindus killed him because he was way too successful in his proclamation. Can you imagine that? These guys followed him around for 3 years, but they still doubted him. He appears to them one time and bang! Thomas's life absolutely changed at that point. Turns into something he was not before. I had something happen to me that just startled me when we were in Thailand years ago. I was ending up a year of work in the mission field, and usually by that time, everybody's, all the missionaries' money is running out. And the phone rings, and it was from a young man called Ning. If we could have the next slide, please. Ning was a Hmong gentleman that worked for the government of Thailand. In that big printing, right in the center of your map there, says Pakamai. That's where he lived, Pakamai. He was a young man, I dare say quite handsome. He was married to a wonderful woman. They had two children. Diane and I stayed in their house, which was about the size of our living room, the whole thing. The kitchen was there, the living room, the bedroom, everything was in the same place. He called me up, Ning called me up, and he said, "Pastor Bob, can you build me a church?" You see, if you're from the United States and you go over there, the assumption is, we're all wealthy. You know, we all got all kinds of money. And a church over there doesn't cost anything like this. Or when we came home on a furlough, St. Michael, where my son was DCE there, they were in a building program of multi-million dollars, you know, and Diane and I were just flabbergasted. There it cost about $2,000. $2,000 would set up a church. And he asked me if I would do that for him. I don't know if you know what missionaries are paid, but I thought, ouch. Ning, tell me about things. You know, who's having church, by the way? Because he was a young man. He was coming to instruction that I led up in Chiang Mai. And he and his wife were always in attendance. They always had a Bible there. I know I bought it for them. And they would follow along. They wanted to learn more and more about their Savior, Jesus Christ. And so I had a whole class of people, probably 30, 40 Hmong and other tribes, Aka, Lahu, Lasu. And I went through the whole Bible with them, believe it or not, and just summarized each of the Bible books of the Bible. And then we went through Luther's Small Catechism. And the reason we did that, Luther had a way of kind of pulling doctrines together so that it makes a lot of sense. And it's a very short thing. And when we got to the creed, which we just recited, we spent a little bit of time on Easter because in there we said, rose from the dead. And this is something new. If you go over to Thailand, this is something new. They're not into resurrection. He always called it insurrection. And I always had to laugh. I remembered Ning real well. Because at the insurrection, Jesus Christ rose from the dead. One evening, a bunch of them were watching television, and everything was in Thai. I was standing off to the side, or sitting off by the side, and Ning came over to me. And he said, "Pastor Bob," and we would talk, I don't speak Hmong, we would speak Thai, and he didn't speak English, so we had that middle ground of Thai. But he said, "Pastor Bob, what happened on the insurrection? Tell me about it." And I said, "Well, at the resurrection, or let's just say he rose from the dead," that's easier words. I said, you know he died on the cross, right? And he knew about that. And he was so happy that Jesus Christ had died for him. Couldn't understand why. And that was one thing that a lot of them couldn't figure out over there. Why would he do that? And I would sing a song to them. I don't know why I love you like I do. Remember that one? I don't know why I just do. God loves us, and we're some of the most unlovable people. It's almost humorous. If it wouldn't be true, it would be kind of humorous that God would actually love us. And I said, Ning, he loves you. And he said, I don't know him. He doesn't know me. I said, he knows you. He knew you when you became, a little bitty baby in your mother's womb. He knew you. He knows you now. He knows your wife. He knows your children. He knows everybody in Pacamay, and he loves them. And that's why he died on the cross of Calvary. And that was such a, he would just sit back, and he was in awe. And I said, do you understand that he did it out of love? For God so loved the world that he gave his son to die on the cross of Calvary. You understand that? And he would nod, and he says, but about the insurrection? And I said, well, okay, he died. What does that mean? Well, then he went on and explained in Thai what that meant. Your heart doesn't beat anymore. No more oxygen in your lungs. You're dead. And then you get buried, and so on and so forth, or cremated. And I said, well, okay, and back then, in those days, in that location on earth, they buried him in a tomb, in a rock, and it was pretty secure, big stone in front of it. I've seen it already. I couldn't budge it alone. And they laid him in there. He was dead. You understand that? He said, yes. I said, okay, on the day of insurrection, I started calling it. It's easier that way. On the day of insurrection, he came back to life, and he was alive again. He said, how can that be? I said, I don't know. It's God. God does these things. It's something that God can do, but I can't. Can any other God on earth do such a thing? Have you ever heard of anything like that? No. No insurrection. He said, we get born again and again and again, you know, reincarnation. And I said, okay. Scripture says it's appointed unto man once to die. After that, comes a judgment. Period. There is no reincarnation. So when Jesus Christ was laid in the tomb and he came back to life, he was alive, he's alive today. He's sitting with holes, nail prints in his hands, a gash in his side, nail prints in his feet, on the throne in heaven. You're going to spend forever with him in heaven if you believe. Do you believe? Yes, I do. And he just got the biggest smile on his face. And I said, what's wrong? And he says, that's good news. I thought, yeah, that's as good as it gets. That's as good as it gets. Back to building the church story. Ning was nobody. He was just somebody that wanted to tell everybody about Jesus Christ. He went home from those lessons anyway, and then it was sometime later, he calls me and he says, Pastor Bob, can you build me a church? And I thought, oh, mercy. No, how many people do you have coming? How many are in? Where do you have it? And he said, well, at my house. How many? And he said, 25, 30, maybe. And 25, 30, not my size, but Thai size, which is, you know, a little bit less than this size. And I thought, wow, your house is full. And he said, yes, yes. He said, the others have to stand outside. I said, you got people standing outside. And he said, yeah. I said, how many? And he started giving me a number like 75, maybe 80. And I said, you've got 80 people coming to church that have to stand outside and another 25 inside? And he said, no. They count people like my family would have been one. You know, we married and sons, and so figure out what your one would be. I said, how many eyes are there there? And I'll divide by two. And we finally figured it out. He had something like 300 people standing outside his house in the rainy season in Thailand. And they call it rainy season because it rains, you know. And he says, we just would need a church so they could stay dry. I said, you've got 300 people coming to worship, and you want a building. And he said, yes. I said, they just stand out in the rain. He said, oh, they bring banana branch. He meant the leaves, you know, that's their umbrella. And would anybody be here today if we were outside and it was raining? I said to Ning, I said, what did you... You are supposed to be in charge of missions here, right, in Thailand. Ning never checked with me. The Holy Spirit never contacted me and said, hey, by the way, I'm building a church out in Pak Mai. Can you coordinate it? I kind of felt left out, you know. No, not really. But how did you do this? He said, well, when I get home from work, he worked for the street company of Thailand. He was out on the highways and stuff, digging ditches and whatnot. He was just grunt labor, and he would come home, and he and his wife would have, he would clean up, they would have supper, and after supper, they would go out and go door to door in the village of Pak Mai, and he would tell everybody in sight about the insurrected Lord Jesus who sits in his throne in heaven now, but died on the cross for your sins and mine. And I don't know how he did it, if it was his good looks or what, but 325 people would be at an average service at his house absolutely every Sunday. Ning was a changed man. Once he came to meet Jesus Christ. Thomas was a changed man once he came to look into the eyes of the insurrected Jesus Christ and come to grips with the fact that he had a living God. He didn't believe in some teaching. He didn't believe in just some creed that you can recite. He believed in the person himself. My Lord and my God. At that point, Thomas turned his life over to God. It was no more disbelief. There was no more unless in his vocabulary. But he did some work for the Lord. That's Thomas. And Ning. We got him as church, by the way. I told him, I don't have the money, but you go ahead and start. I'll get it. And we stayed just long enough to see it dedicated and stuff, but people would ask me, what was your job over there? And I sincerely told them from the bottom of my heart, mostly just stay out of the way of the Holy Spirit. And that can be us too. I don't mean, you know, you don't have to run over to Pak Mai there. Mostly Christian now, by the way, anyway. But you don't have to go anywhere. You don't have to, you know, go on some mission to bring other people to Jesus Christ. But you know, when you and I look into the eyes of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our God, our Savior, the one thing that stands between us and the punishment for all of our sins that you just confessed a few minutes ago, when you and I come to grips with who it is that we're following, who's leading us. We realize that he lives. New life he gives. He can change us from the inside out. All of a sudden, you know, we're not so wound up in our earthly possessions, in our earthly lives. Our eyes become focused on something else. They're lifted up. I stand in awe of Thomas for the changes that came over him. I really grew in my respect and stood in awe of Ning, probably about that tall. And I stand in awe when I think of our insurrected Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Come to grips with it, people, and enjoy your new life in him. In his name we pray. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes far beyond our understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. And a word of